pocket. Turn the key in the lock it. Pull the pin back and cock it. Brace yourself for the rocket. I've got a bad habit. Got a bad habit. Cue the dream and tag it. Got a bad habit.
Listening to Freeform Radio, 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford.
Hello, hello.
What up?
Oh, my headphones are low. There we go. I can hear myself now.
I can't hear myself.
You can't? Is that your headphones? How about now?
Is it? I can hear myself a little bit, whatever. Can you hear
That's
me?
It's probably your headphone volume. Anyway, this is All Chat, the video game talk show. I'm your host, Mr. Gracias.
And I'm DJ EJ.
And what are we doing today?
We are talking about... Did you say four?
Yeah, four.
Four games. That's an arbitrary number. Four
games? No, it was a hashtag going around Twitter.
Oh.
A lot of people were sharing their four.
Okay.
I want to know what the specific hashtag was.
Four games that defined our childhood.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a pretty awesome Friday so far, like weather-wise.
Yeah.
It's like
I'm
a great
in shorts.
Friday. Yeah. I was in shorts too on my way to the gym, but I put some pants on because, you know, it's going to get colder later and chillier.
Yeah,
and you I'm have not going to be home for a while.
You have to be decent.
Be decent, exactly.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to stop this. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the four games that, you know, defined our childhood. I'm trying to look for the hashtag right now. But before that, I kind of want to, you know, play a song by Avicii.
Rip in peace.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, the DJ known as Avicii, his name's Tom, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, his name's Tom or something. He passed away earlier today. He was only 28 years old. He was fighting a lot of mental health issues for the past, like, 4 years, is what is known so far. But anyway, I'm going to play a song by him that I heard earlier that I think speaks well to him. And we'll see you after that.
That we would always be. Without you I feel lost at sea. Through the darkness you'd hide with me. Like the wind we'd be wild and free. You said you'd follow me anywhere. Through your eyes tell me who won't be there.
Hey, welcome back. That's a good song. I really like that one.
It got me pretty pumped up for the show, actually. So
For what show? This show?
This show.
Oh, it sounds like you're saying like it was a good like hype up song for like...
No, our show, John.
We're doing a show right now?
Yeah, we're doing a show.
Oh, we're live?
Yeah, we are.
We're doing it live.
We're talking to our 10 bots and one real life audience.
Okay, you're on this again every single time?
How many streamers do we have right now? Watch, it's going to be 10.
9.
All right, see, it's always going to be... They add minus or add or subtract one every week to confuse us.
Sure. But yeah, we're talking about the four games that, you know, are the pillars of our childhood, I guess.
Yeah, that started us off on the path to...
Gamerhood?
Gamerhood. That's what we're going to call it.
I'm coining that term. find it in my future papers.
Your autobiography.
All right, do you want to go first?
All right, yeah. Let's just go one and one.
One and one? Okay.
Yeah, all right. So my first one...
Uh-huh. And it could be on any platform, just for the record, anyone listening, this game could be on any platform at any year, but like something in the first like, you know, decade of our life.
Okay, there are a lot of games that have really impacted me, but I'm just going to talk about the games that really like got me here to where I am, to the person, the human being that I am today. So the first one would be Mario 64 on Nintendo 64.
Okay. You own Nintendo 64?
Yeah. So
I never did. Lewis did, and I always joined. I always went to his house to play his Nintendo 64.
Yeah, but the thing is, I never played that game. My dad, actually, when we were young, like 4 or 5, he used to play Mario 64.
No way.
When he was home from work, and we would sit there and we would watch him, and we would always ask him to play when he wasn't playing, so we could watch him. And that was honestly my
that's first, where it started.
That's
my, like, your love for watching people play video games.
And that's also my first real life encounter with video games. This, we were just like a 4 and a 3 year old or 5 and a 4 year old, like just sitting with their dad, just like watching him play this video game. We were honestly too scared to play the video game. I was terrified of Bowser's laugh. So
really? Oh yeah, I feel that. I feel that. Honestly,
I'd be like, "Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have nightmares." I used to have nightmares. I had one reoccurring nightmare because of this game throughout my entire childhood, where I was Mario and I was being attacked in Peach's castle. So that was the first game in my memory, in my existing memory, that I can think of, and that has really been the starting point for me. Are you gonna play Bowser's Laugh right now?
I'm trying to, but it's giving me a hard time.
Oh god, it's gonna be it's I'm gonna
I just
get wanna,
I just want the reference, you know.
You're gonna spook me, dude. I'm gonna have nightmares.
But what so you're saying that Mario 64 kind of gave you the love for watching video games?
The love, or I guess it was my first real experience with video games.
Just video games in general?
Yeah.
So anything about... what about Mario 64 as a game itself? Like the platformer style of it? Or Mario himself?
Nothing about the game
itself.
It
was nothing about that. It was more just about the like...
the experience of it.
Experience of... yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Dang it. I forget what this source is called.
Isn't it on the bottom left?
No, it's... I'm trying to see what... one of them should be called web, but it's just not calling it that. Whatever. Maybe I'll just do something different. Okay. Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn now.
Okay. I have to say my first video game experience was a PlayStation 1. And it was a game I sunk so many hours into and like had to get a save card. You remember those exist? Or like a...
Yeah, the memory cards. Memory cards, yeah. Those sucked.
Those, I can't believe those weren't integrated into the like the consoles themselves already. Like you had to buy a separate thing for it.
Yeah.
Like,
and they
that's
were like
crazy.
Like, they were like 16 millibytes, I remember. And 64 millibytes was like a big one.
Yeah.
And it was expensive.
Those are really expensive.
But 64 millibytes today is like almost
nothing. Why would
nothing.
You get that? Why would you buy that? expensive is buying like 5 terabytes.
Yeah,
like that's expensive. Yeah. But anyway, this game was definitely my favorite, and it sunk so many hours into Crash Bandicoot.
Okay.
Warped. That one I played over and over and over and over again, without a memory card. So I would just put it in and just play until like I like couldn't like I was like, okay, I'm done playing, and turn it off. And then, like, nothing would be saved, so I just come back and do it again. Like, I loved the game so much, and it was so...
Am I too loud right now? No.
Okay. Was that me? Was that me peeking?
I don't know.
I'll lower myself.
But so for those who don't know what a member card did, was in the only way you could save your progress in a game.
You're too low now.
Was with a memory card.
Yeah.
So you had to insert a memory card into the console that you were playing in order to save any progress that happened within the
video
game.
Oh, wow. There
game.
Might be people who don't know what a memory card is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was way back when, like, first-gen consoles.
That's like
late 90s. Early 2000s. Like, PS1.
But Xbox came out 2000, so...
Okay, but the PlayStation 2
still had
memory cards.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
You're right.
So did the GameCube.
The GameCube did?
GameCube did.
Dude. No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. I still have so many memory cards.
What? That big thing didn't have memory in it?
No, like, dude.
You remember there's four slots for the... and there's two slots right above it, right?
There's two right below the...
Oh, controller. Right below it, yeah.
But yeah, so if you... Like John was saying, if you play a game without a memory card, every time you turn the game off, you have to start all the way from the beginning again.
Yeah.
So that's what John did every time he played.
Yeah, so I was doing that every single time I would play Crash Bandicoot. And that's my first experience with, like, video games, is, like, this narrative of, like, it's linear, but it's also 3D and open, and it's also a platformer, and it's actually very tough when you get to the later levels. It was, like, very tough. And it just, like, I guess that's why for a lot of games, the difficulty is, like, different for me. Like, especially for platformers, the way I, like, see it, just being raised and playing like Crash Bandicoot for so long, mm-hmm. of like my first it was like my upbringing of video games, I feel like that says something about like how I see difficulty of video games or platformers.
That honestly would have traumatized me, like playing the game the way you did it.
Yeah, exactly. But for me it was just just playing a video game. It was like, hey, I'm playing my PlayStation. This is fun. Like, yeah. It wasn't about like, oh, I'm playing the same level over and over. Like, that didn't matter. It was just like, I'm doing it. Oh, I know this part. Like, I can do it again.
Oh my god.
Like, I know there's sometimes when I was like, man, I can't. That gives me a bummer. I'm like so far now. I have to just end it. But yeah. It wasn't long until I got a memory card and then started being able to progress.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever beat the game. Honestly, I got very, very far, but I never beat it.
I mean, obviously, because you have to do it from the beginning every time. Like, it'd be incredible.
Well, I mean, when I got the memory card, I still didn't beat it.
I mean,
yeah.
By then, you were probably over it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I used to have FIFA 99 along with my Crash Bandicoot game. It was insane. Remembering the graphics and the mechanics.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. I'm going to play... I'm finding it on...
Okay. I'll talk about my second game while you do that. So my second game was an MMORPG, actually. And it was MapleStory.
MapleStory.
I think MapleStory was something that was pretty... It was pretty mainstream for a lot of Asian people out there. Oh, yeah. This is about...
Oh, my God. That's the sound effect.
It's horrifying.
I feel like we should have that... Like, I wish we had a board with just sound effects like radio DJs
can't
have.
Can't you do that?
No, that's not what this does, unfortunately.
There's no buttons you can press.
Well, there are, but you have to, like, set up a whole thing. And this is very, like, old-ish. It's not the same as what you're thinking of.
That's so...
But just to play it again, this is the Bowser's Laugh from Super Mario 64. When did the game come out?
Dreams.
96, 97?
I have no idea, dude.
Anyway, this is the sound.
Like, if you were a 4 or 5-year-old, like, listening to that, wouldn't you be a little spooked?
Yeah.
Like, and when video games were still, like, 3D graphics were still a new thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of similar to one of the first films that ever, like happened in the early 1900s.
Had sound, yeah.
That had sound. Or, like, portrayed, like, a car driving by scared people. Like, seeing that as a stimulus, like, on a screen, like, made people jump, like, a car is actually coming at them.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a train. Like, yeah, that's the same similarity where, like... It's like, okay, you're scared of that laugh. It's like, okay, we're young. And also, like, this is not a realm of things we've seen often.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm sure today's kids, like, probably laugh. That laugh wouldn't scare them that much, like, unless they've never seen a video game before. Like, that's actually
like
their first.
Amish, yeah.
They're Amish. Do you think you would raise your kids on the same games that you were raised with? Like, get them a GameCube, get them a Game Boy?
No, maybe books, but not games. That's, like, too much.
Like, I agree. I'm not going to give them, like, I'm not going to be like, okay, you're 2 years old, here's a PlayStation.
Here's a Game Boy Color.
But I'm saying when they finally do, like, maybe they're, like, older, like, closer to 10.
I'll tell them about it, but I'll be like...
You won't want them to, like, experience the same video games?
No, it's going to be, I mean, by the time that you and I have kids is going to be way too far. It's going to be a thing of, like, a past era. But, yeah.
2030, 2040.
But, like, honestly, MapleStory, I just thought of MapleStory because it's an MMORPG that's, like, it's a 2D.
What's Maples? I've never heard of
that. It's a 2D side-scrolling MMORPG. And it's very popular in Asian countries. Or when it came out, it came out in Korea first. I don't know. But it was very popular among Asian youth.
What is it called?
MapleStory.
MapleStory.
And they just like announced like MapleStory 2.
Interesting. I've like never 3D. Seen this before.
I know. It's definitely a cultural thing. But me and my brother.
Why is it on? It's on. It was from Steam.
No.
What were you playing it on?
It migrated to Steam before Steam was a thing. MapleStory was a thing. It had its own client and launcher and stuff like that.
It was only on PC.
Yeah, it was a PC. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't on any console.
Nope. It was a PC game.
What year?
I don't know. My brother and I mainlined this game.
It was released in Korea in 2003.
Okay. So, yeah.
And then it didn't get to... United States doesn't have a release date here.
Definitely.
North America hasn't released it. Okay. 2005.
Yeah. So we mainlined this game. We tried so hard to get really good at it. My brother got, like, really way more into it than I did.
What do you do in it?
It's you just kill monsters and you level up and you...
Is it 3D, like...
Nope, it's not 3D. It's 2D. It's all 2D.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was the MMORPG that our computers could run at the time.
So like that's
what we did. Yeah.
Wow. That's
literally it, dude.
This looks like a Game Boy game.
Yeah. But it's you play with people all over the world or in your region.
Are you a mushroom? Is that what you play
as? No. You play as a character. This is just a weird tutorial video or something like that. Yeah. But this was
okay.
Yeah, this was probably the game that my brother and I played together and we tried our hardest to be good at.
How old were you guys?
Like, I think middle school, like early middle school.
Okay.
So.
And like, you guys would like to collectively play the same game?
Yeah. And like, we would like be in the same party and in the same guild and like, we'd do all the like questing and stuff. And like, I would get so mad when he would progress without me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. And then like eventually it was just like, oh, you're more into this than I am. I'm not going to play. But then this really started my search for like my desire to play MMORPGs. So I think I haven't played one in a while, but it truly was a formative gaming experience of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
What's your number 2?
That's such an interesting game. I'm trying to think of games that like I know some, like I can't think of anything.
It's so unique.
Very novel. For me, it has to be Halo 1, like the original Halo Combat Evolved.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because of the sheer amount of hours I put into it, how much I got invested into the storyline and the lore, and how much it shaped how I play first-person shooters and my skill in, like, first-person shooters as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember this, I have a specific, like, 3-second clip in my head of when I first ever saw gameplay for Halo 1. I walked, like, my mom used to babysit these kids who were, one was an 8th grader and one was a 6th grader, and I was still, like, in 2nd or 3rd grade. But I came in to the house once, and the 8th grader had his friend over, and they were both playing Xbox, like, in the living room.
Ooh.
And I walked by, and I saw, like, them, like, it was split screen, like, across horizontally.
Yeah.
And they were, like, shooting each other, and, like, oh, like, and I saw, like, a blue ball, like, it was a plasma grenade.
Wow, that's such a vivid
memory.
And,
like, someone had an energy, plasma rifle, yeah, what the Covenant have.
Yeah.
And I just saw those graphics happening all over the screen. I was like, what is going on? I was walking by and they're just like screaming and yelling at each other, like, oh, get off. Like, just like, you know what people do back before like online multiplayer, when you just like, most of the hype was local multiplayer.
Yeah.
And I asked them what it is. They're like, oh, it's Halo. And I was like, immediately like, can I play? And they're like, no, you can't play this. Like, it's...
You're too young.
Like, it's rated M.
The dumbest reason.
It's rated M. You gotta ask your mom. And I asked my mom, she's like, absolutely not. Like, you cannot play that.
Yeah.
But over the course of the next few weeks, like, I was able to play it.
You wore her down.
Yeah, wore her down. Yeah. And because of that game, my mom got me an Xbox. Like,
shout out to,
less than a year
shout
later.
Shout out to your mom.
Yeah, shout out to my mom for really enabling my path into...
your passion, you mean.
Yeah, enabling my passion.
Yeah.
So she got me the original Xbox, and it came with Halo Combat Evolved and two controllers, because I have my brother, too.
Yeah.
And I just put so much energy into that game. The campaign itself was, like, so much fun to play. And then playing multiplayer sometimes, like when I go over to people's houses and they have an Xbox.
Yeah.
Around that time, my mom was seeing this guy who had like three sons of his own, and all of them were older than me.
Yeah.
And they all had family had an Xbox with four controllers. And whenever I was at their house, we'd just like all of us like go in there. That's when I made my first ever user created username for in the virtual gaming world, and it was Killer.
That's it?
Killer. Just killer.
That is such like
I have another 3 second clip in my head, very vivid, of when they're creating the profile. I don't know if you know remember the UI for Halo 1, like menu, but like I remember specifically, and they you get to choose your name and your color of your Spartan when you're playing Slayer, and I chose mine to be red and then made it Killer because it's just like blood and like killer, like it just made sense.
Classic
to me.
11-year-old
but
logic.
I was like, I wanted to be red, and then they're like, okay, well, you want your name to be, and they like all looked at me and I was like, Killer, and then they just wrote it down, and my first ever Xbox Live username was Killer 308.
Why 308?
That was the one it recommended to me. I tried to say Killer, and I was like, do you like the next available one was like 308, and I was like, that has a ring to it, and I was like, but they had no. The numbers had no meaning to me. So...
yeah, those Xbox Live names.
Yeah, exactly. And then I didn't change Killer 308 until I wanted to join a clan my freshman year here at Tufts in Battlefield 4.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I changed my name from Killer 308 to Mr. Gracias.
It's that recent, huh?
Yeah. Literally first semester freshman year here. When I was like, okay, you can still see it in my YouTube videos. Like, it still says Killer 308 in some of the video gameplay footage.
Oh my gosh.
And then it shifts to Mr. Gracias after I've joined
my
clan.
I'm glad you grew up.
I like Mr. Gracias. I like it so
it's
much.
It's really good.
It's a really good name.
My gamer tag, actually, mine's really... I think I told you the origin story of Snapsky.
Of Snapsky. Yeah, I think you did. I forget it every time.
That's so Raven. She used to say it every time something bad happened. She would go, "Oh, Snapsky,"
and Snapsky,
and I was
I was like, "She doesn't say Snapskier."
And she goes, "Oh, Snapsky," and I'm like, "Yeah, I could do that."
That's pretty clever.
I tried really
I'm
hard.
I'm surprised it's not related to some like MMO or like.
I've been asked
JRPG.
if I was Swedish a lot of the time.
Really, is that why? Like, does it have a meaning?
I mean, ski like is the typical like yeah.
That's why it seemed foreign to me. It seemed like it was something related to a foreign game or
it's just
comic book.
Something that Raven Simone used to say on Disney Channel.
That's so Raven. Amazing. So yeah, Halo 1 got me my first username for online gaming community. It sparked my interest into shooter games and upped my like... When you're... I was like 6 or 7 playing this game all the time. 7 or 8 playing this game all the time. Like learning that game... The mechanics of it that early on really gave me a lot of like
an edge in the competitive game.
Yeah, it gave me a good edge when it came to like later on when Call of Duty came out and other further installments of Halo came out, like Halo 3.
Yeah,
it really gave me a good advantage with that kind of stuff. And like even today, like a lot of my skill comes from that. And also, that was my first time. I mean, I guess the PlayStation kind of, but Halo, since it was my first FPS, and for anyone who's ever tried to pick up a controller and play Call of Duty, like for the first time ever, it's really tricky trying to get the analog sticks to like, okay, this one moves, this one looks. Yeah. And then when you're trying to teach someone that, it's also like the hard to see.
I was that kid that went from PC to
console
and I had to
learn
experience that.
Yeah. Like learning that as like, it's like a second language, and learning that early on was like helpful. Especially with learning how to use an Xbox controller with my arm. Like, I had to get a mini... The Xbox controller used to be massive. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, they used to be
huge.
Yeah.
And you could buy mini ones. Yeah. Like, there was a special mini one, and those were the ones I had, because I had to use those.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I couldn't hold the bigger one. They were too clunky in my hands. Like, I just couldn't. So that's what helped me with FPS and with my username. And a lot of my early... love for anything that would be considered geeky, because the lore of Halo, I was really into it.
Really? Did you read the books and stuff?
I read two of them, but yeah.
Not a real fan.
I read all the Dragon Ball Z comics.
All right. My third game would then be it's a first person shooter. It's mm-hmm. Counter-Strike 1.6.
Oh my god.
This is the OG Counter-Strike.
Wow. Wait. I had Halo 1, I also like a few months later got Counter-Strike. Just the first one.
Yeah. But Counter-Strike on console is way different.
It is very different. Like, especially like from now, Counter-Strike. But yeah, so it's a lot of similar things. They never changed the audio. Like,
yeah. For me, Counter-Strike was the game that helped me understand what having like a community in the gaming world is. Because me and my brother, again, we both played Counter-Strike. And there was a summer we literally only played Counter-Strike for the entire summer. We didn't go outside. And we, like, only played Counter-Strike for that summer. And we had just...
Who needs to go outside?
We had just moved, so we didn't have friends, okay? It was the summer before starting a new school. All right. Keep your judgment to yourself.
DJ Heejay doesn't really have many friends. Let's just get that out there right now. It's never changed. This is the same.
This is a reoccurring theme in my life.
This is actually last year. Yeah. The story is from last year.
House. Yeah. But, yeah, Counter-Strike... We belonged to a clan. It was called the Pix Scotty Clan.
Can you spell that for me?
P-I-X.
X. I knew it. I was like, is it going to be P-I-C-S or is it like P-I-X?
And we had inadvertently joined this clan because we had always just ended up on their server, their clan server. And we like got to know the guys and we like developed connections and we were like, hey, like, can we join? And they were like, yeah. And we were just like...
Were you like the youngest people in the...
We were like literally... I was 12 and my brother was 11 and we were in this Counter-Strike clan with guys who were dads, guys who were in their 40s, guys from like Europe, guys just like from everywhere.
Yeah.
Like college students. Like we were just like, I remember one time.
It was like ZF.
There was a married couple that played together on the server. There was a dad and a kid. A kid who was younger than
us. Those communities are so cool, especially that early on, like in the gaming world.
Yeah, and they were so tight-knit, and every time we would show up on the server, they'd be like, yo, hey, Snapsky, what's up? And we'd, like, have conversations.
Yeah, it becomes a family.
And I remember...
But you never know, like, maybe sometimes you get to know their real names, but it's all about their, like, user... The username is very tied to their personality.
Them, And I was Snapsky, and Heejay was Snipey.
Wait, that was really his name?
Yeah, Snipey.
That's actually really funny. Yeah,
and then we went through there was like a whole falling out within the clan. It like split into two factions and there was like picks.
Was it over drama or like?
I don't know what the drama. I was 12.
Okay, fair.
So there was like, it separated into picks and then SCCD and they each had separate servers and we would like freaking both.
Wow.
And then we eventually went over to the SCCD side and then
what does it stand for?
I don't
remember.
We have no idea.
Oh,
we
never knew.
We try so hard to like be a part of this group and like be recognized for our skills.
For both of them?
Well,
or just this one?
Just
or,
like this the clan, whole just the whole clan in general. And it was I still remember some of the guys. There was this guy named Sleeper who was like phenomenal at Counter-Strike. He was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And they would scrim. They would scrim other clans too, this clan. So yeah, and it was my first real like foray, I guess, into what a gaming community is like.
Yeah.
And like ever since then I've sought that and I've like tried to create it with our friends.
Yeah. When did you get a PC? When did you and your brother get a PC?
When we moved, so that's why that summer we stayed inside. But
like
we
each one you got your own individual PCs.
Yeah. I was going to sixth grade and my brother was going to fifth grade.
That's insane. We never had a computer in my house.
Yeah. I mean, my dad loved computers also. Mm-hmm. So, and like just for Koreans,
we
I
always
think.
Had a PlayStation, then a PlayStation 2, then an Xbox. Like those were the things we had.
Yeah.
Because my mom would have her work gave her a laptop, but that's the only like PC related thing we would have in the house. Yeah. So, in relation to that, my first experience with a clan was freshman year at college.
Okay.
Because for Battlefield 4, I played so many hours of that game, and I love that game to death. Even now, I'll go back and play it because it's so much fun.
Battlefield 4 is a really good game, and it's
actually really good.
It has pretty good longevity now. There's still people playing it, right?
Yeah. It just did such. They knocked it out of the park with that game, and much of the squad. It's like how it is really close to Sim, like Milsim, because like, sick example for Arma 3, and we've seen a lot of like gameplay and how that works with missions and stuff. That is very real. Like, it's very difficult if you try to just do it like kind of like a console game and just go guns blazing.
Yeah,
like you have to actually like. Things cost, like consequences are real.
Yeah, I got Battlefield 1 and I played exactly like just guns blazing, kill as many people as possible.
It's not fun.
It's yeah, you just die over and over yeah. again.
And
yeah.
it's not like Call of Duty where you can just spawn immediately and just go back into it. Like yeah. you have to go back, reset. Like yeah. Battlefield 4 had a great system where it rewards squad tactics and staying together with your group.
Yeah.
And like there's a lot of mechanics there at play where one role can supply ammo, one role can revive yeah. down teammates, yeah, yeah. all of that. Especially in hardcore mode, was just like phenomenal. It was so much fun. And realizing that, I was like, man, I really want to join. Like, no one on Xbox, none of my friends on Xbox loved Battlefield. Lewis would play it just because I wanted to play it. Like, he would be like, okay, yeah. we can play it sometimes. And I was just always be playing it, and he'd be like, okay, I like the game, but I don't like play it all the time like you do.
Yeah.
And I was like, felt like I was really good at it. I was like, man, I'm doing so, like, I have a lot of, like, I do a lot of things that I don't see a lot of other players doing. So then I just went, you know, online and looked for, you know, forums and people posting, like, we're recruiting. But I didn't want it to be, like, a really intense clan. I didn't want it to be, like, you know, like...
Practice every day.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I didn't want it to be competitive. But I found this one that was growing. And, like, it was more about Milsim, like, within the, like, chain of command. And, like, there was a whole, like, they had a really good system, really good order for their clan.
Yeah.
But it was, we never scrimmed anyone. We never got into, we were growing so that we could scrim, but it would just took so long. And like the process was so like, you know, intense that we were never able to. But my bottom line is that this, I know so many people, I made so many friends through that. Like my freshman year and entirety of freshman year, I grew up to be a squad. Like I went through the recruitment system, started off in a fire team, and then became a fire team leader all throughout those like 10, 11 months that was part of that clan.
Yeah.
And it was just, I was the youngest one in there, but there's people from all over US. One of them like played off of their, he moves a lot for work, and he played off of his phone's hotspot. Like he would bring his Xbox with him and like connect it to his phone's hotspot and like play with us from hotel to hotel that he would go to.
What the heck?
Yeah. Like he was amazing. His name was Jaeger. And there's our,
you know what Jaeger means in German?
No.
Hunter.
Really?
It's pretty hardcore.
That makes sense. The E was a 3,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
The clan leader, the entire founder, his name was Crazy Drunk Irish. But there was no vowels in it, just the I at the okay. Irish. So you could tell, you could fill in the blanks.
Not Crazy Drunk Rish.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah, Rish, yeah.
And yeah, that was just a big crew, and it was fun training people, and it was fun being part of a huge community.
Yeah.
And like, but it was weird because sometimes I'd be like, okay, I can't do anything Friday night because me and we have practice with, like, I have to train my squad. Like,
that's why Woody squad quit context. His Heroes of the Storm team.
Really?
Yeah. After that, he literally quit right before that tournament that everybody watched that was live streamed.
Like, literally last week?
Yeah.
He quit before and they still played?
I asked him after the game, oh, when's your next game? And he goes, I actually quit. And I was like,
why do you play that game?
He was like, yeah, I played that game because they needed time to find a sub. He quit like a week before the tournament.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're getting sidetracked because no one knows who Woody is. Okay. Sorry.
But anyway.
So that was your third game.
Yeah, and so my fourth game.
That was my third game.
That was your third game.
Yes.
So it's my fourth game then.
Yeah.
My fourth game, fourth and final game, is something that still haunts me to this day.
What is it?
Kingdom Hearts 2.
Kingdom Hearts 2.
For anybody that doesn't know what Kingdom Hearts is, it's a mix of Disney characters, Final Fantasy characters, created by Square Enix in collaboration with Disney. It is an action RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is one that I, like you, got really lost in. It takes around 60 hours to go through the game one time, right? Complete it, just like main stuff.
Okay.
I did that four times in within my childhood.
Oh my god.
And
what a loser.
And I got really into the lore of it, like you were saying.
What's that noise?
Fan. But anyway, yeah, I really got into the lore of it, and I joined forums online forums before like Facebook communities and MySpace communities were a thing.
Yeah.
And I would literally go on these forums and talk to people who liked the game about the lore, about the characters, about, like, and there were people that would write fanfics, and I didn't write fanfics, but, like, I would read them.
Yeah.
And I get so into it, and there was a lot of speculation around Kingdom Hearts because a lot of the story is really vague. And Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out next year, I think. And Kingdom Hearts 2 came out, like, 2008 or something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So it's been 10 years.
It's been 10 years since, like, the story has been continued. Wow. Essentially. But there have been games in between that, yeah, like, fill in the holes.
I was going to say, like, yeah.
But this game, I don't know what it was, but this is a game that I truly, genuinely, just, like, passionately loved with everything.
Yeah.
So I was, like, it's still, I tried playing it again, and I just couldn't. I was like, everything is too familiar, you know? And I can't do it to myself anymore.
I think if I played Crash Bandicoot, I would still want to beat it.
No, dude, like, I really did, I genuinely tried one summer, two summers ago, or something like that. And I sat down and I bought the, like, 2.5 edition with, like, extra content. And I tried so hard. I, like, tried to make a schedule and everything.
Over at their, like, headquarters, you're like, a blip pops up. Yeah, I was like, someone just bought this. Guys, we just made money.
Yeah.
Off of this game.
And I was just
retroactively.
Like, but yeah, that's my game. That's,
wow,
nearest and dearest to my heart.
Yeah. So yeah, my third one was Battlefield 4. My last one's going to be another, like, what's the word? Sequel, but Halo 3.
God, come on!
I mean, that's I'm a console gamer, and consoles were mostly just, like, FPSs.
Dude, what about League of Legends?
Okay. League of Legends was, like, it was my, you know, transition into MOBAs and, like, PC gaming, because, like, that was the first technically computer game I ever owned. Because I had a Mac, and you can't really do much on those.
You can play Minecraft.
I never did Minecraft, but I did do...
You did play Minecraft with us.
I did. Yeah. But not, like, the first game.
Okay.
Was Slenderman, which was, like, a little indie game that doesn't really count as a game.
Yeah.
And then after that was, you know, League of Legends. But anyway, I'm saying Halo 3 because within my first 10 years of life, even though it came out when I was 12, within my first early years of, like, gaming life, it was my first introduction to online multiplayer. Because Halo 2, I didn't play much online.
Shout out to your mom for paying for Xbox Live.
Yeah, for paying for Xbox Live membership.
My parents would never.
And I had the headset. That. Being able to talk to someone was so cool.
Yeah.
She got it for my 12th birthday. It was figuring out learning how to play against other people and that competitive scene. Learning, like, oh, wow, like, that person did this. I would have never thought of that. Like, they just, like, wrecked me. Like, this whole game, like, they've been killing everyone. Like, what are they doing? That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought I was really good. Like, this person's really good. And it's that competitive, like, motivation, kind of like that you see in sports or in anything like that, where it's, like, you might think that you're really good and, like, possess really good skill, but then you see someone else is really better. It's either it'll knock you down and be like, why do I even bother? There's so many good people out there.
Yeah.
And more, it's less that and more like motivation to be better.
Yeah.
And want to keep practicing and being like, and especially with their ranking system, with like, if you win 2, you go up a slot or a number. And if you lose 2, you go down. It was really weird. But either way, it was a lot of fun, especially with Lewis. They had this thing called team doubles, which 2v2, and it was perfect. That's where our friendship actually
blossomed.
That's exactly where it started. We were cousins and we, like, saw each other all the time at family events, but, like, we became, like, best friends and virtual best friends through Halo 3 and, yeah, like, partnering up all the time through that game and realizing what our strengths and weaknesses are and, like, bouncing that off and realizing how to do callouts, how to convince or make strats for the game, and, like, based off the map that we're on, and what do we need to contest, what do we need to control, all that kind of stuff. That was, like, my birth into the online gaming community for competitive gaming, I guess. Yeah. You could say. And the social aspect of it, because Halo 3 had a sandbox type of, like, for the Forge.
Yeah, I played Halo 3.
Yeah. So, like, making maps and then sharing it and then joining lobbies with people you don't know just to play this map.
Yeah.
That was always fun. So, want to recap the four games that are the pillars?
My four pillars were...
By the way, for if you joined us halfway, if you're just joining us, we were doing...
Yeah, well, we really...
We were inspired by a Twitter trend that was happening like 2 days ago. What was it called? It was called hashtag GameStruck4.
GameStruck4. Yep.
Is it game?
It's GameStruck4? Yep.
Okay. GameStruck4. And people were tweeting four games that were just, you know, big games that influenced their lives in the gaming world.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting topic because, like, if you think about it, like, a year in gaming is like a decade. Like, a year in our lives is like a decade in the in the gaming world. Just in terms of, like story content, graphics, change of, or novel ideas, like... It changed so... It's, like, exponentially growing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, in 20 years from now, looking at this... Like, these four games is going to be so... Or four games is going to be so interesting. Because they're going to stay the same or virtual... Like, kind of relatively the same.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be a really interesting, like, topic to talk to. Like, in the ahead of when games, like, take over the world. And then you were saying that your four games were...
Super Mario 64.
Super Mario 64. Classic.
Maple Story,
which I don't know anyone's gonna know.
Shout out to all the people who know Maple Story. Counter-Strike 1.6 and Kingdom Hearts 2.
Kingdom Hearts 2, wow. Mine were Halo 1, Halo 3, Battlefield 4, and what was the other one?
Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot, yeah.
Come on, dude.
I was just focused on, like, shooters. I was like, shooters, I got those. My one that was, like, kind of on the edge was Tall Tale Games, Walking Dead.
Oh, God.
Because The Walking Dead, that made me cry, like, three different times. Season one. Why are you so upset about that? What do you have against Tall Tale Games?
It's just a comic book.
Exactly.
It's not a game.
It is a game.
It's a choose your own adventure comic book.
It's a storytelling game.
It's a choose-your-own-adventure comic book. All right, let's go to my song.
We're going to play a song now. You've been listening to All Chat, by the way, the video game talk show. That's why we've just been talking about video games.
Yeah.
And no PSA, I don't know, hopefully today. People listen to this and be like, oh, I know that game he's talking about. It's very refreshing to hear someone as into a game that you like or just video games in general. Hearing someone talk about a video game so much, you're like, wow, I'd love to just rant about a game inevitably. Sure. But we have 15 minutes left on our show, and earlier we played an Avicii song, and now we're going to play... we're going to go into a different genre. Very different genre, different year. We're going into some R&B.
I'm really excited for this.
I'm a big fan of Neo. I grew up on Neo in R&B music. So we're going to listen to So Sick by Neo. I hope you guys enjoy it. When we come back, we might do a PSA.
No, I have some closing thoughts.
We have to do it. Legally, we're required to do a PSA.
Fine.
You don't have to read one. I can do a...
No, I'll read one.
Theme of our show. You can't just... Yeah,
it just doesn't make sense if you put on an automatic one.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to do it.
Exactly. So then why are you fighting it, man?
Okay, fine.
All right, we're going to play So Sick by Neo, and we'll see you guys after that. And we might pay... I feel like I'm going to play one more song after, depending how much time we have. Okay. See you guys.
So With the love of their life, who feels what I
All right, this is a PSA from yours truly, DJ Heej.
DJ Heej.
And all of us here at WMFO. Visit Somerville's diverse and vibrant arts community at the annual Somerville Open Studios Saturday, May 5th, and Sunday, May 6th, from noon to 6 p.m. with a special sneak preview at Select Studios Friday, May 4th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Immerse yourself in a city full of art with over 350 artists. Talk with artists in every kind of working space across every kind of visual media. Free trolleys will be looping throughout the city, taking you to the artist sites. I believe that Somerville has the highest artist per capita. That's not part of the PSA. Sorry.
I was like, what?
But anyway, for more information, visit Somerville Open Studios website at somervilleopenstudios.org. This has been a public service message from Somerville Open Studios and all your local art-loving friends here at WMFO in Medford.
It's been crazy because then I don't know where the ad stops and where the PSA like begins. Like if you just add inserts into there, you should totally do that next time. Just like throw things in there. Just it's like, wait, was that part
like
of the PSA?
An essay, an audio essay, just me talking about the important.
You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. This has been All Chat, the video game talk show, with me, Mr. Gracias,
and with me, DJ Heej.
And I hope you enjoyed the show today. Talked about our four pillars of game, or four games that were the pillars of our childhood, yeah. I guess, or of our video game career.
What did you call it before?
What did I call it
before? Gamerhood?
Gamerhood. Yes. That's what. Can't forget that word.
Gamerhood.
Okay. Well, I'm starving. I don't know about you. I'm so hungry. Oh, you just kind of ate.
Yeah, sort of.
I ate, and like I'm not actually hungry, but my stomach's telling me that I'm hungry, so I'm going to go eat. I hope you guys enjoy your Friday and your weekend. It's supposed to be amazing weather this weekend.
Great weather this weekend.
Sunny.
Gotta
and
be outside.
High 50s at least. So,
yeah.
Enjoy it while you can. We'll see you guys next week probably. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you. We're heading out of here. This is Mr. Gracias signing off.
Bye. Guitar and drums. I look deep inside of your eyes.